Hey, Pearlside Small Group Leaders, welcome to our weekly Small Group Leaders podcast where we equip you as you lead. We're so excited to really launch our new series in such an awesome Christmas season where we know people need Jesus and they are really open to it. Pastor Billy, you want to paint the picture of the series for us?
Yeah, you know, we're really excited about this series because, you know, as we talked about in our previous series, Beyond, people are challenged and struggling during this season.
Right.
And that's really the whole reason why Jesus came. You know, we're talking about wrapped in love, that the whole birth of Jesus is God wrapped in love for us and revealing his love and his heart for all of humanity. And and we really hope that throughout this series, you know, everyone will be inviting guests and friends, and they'll come and encounter God's love in our services, in our small groups, through our one-to-one interactions. And so we're really hoping that this season, this series will be a great opportunity for new believers or newcomers to encounter the love of God for the first time. And so we're going to unwrap, you know, what Jesus's birth, the advent and the incarnation of Christ means for them. And why that matters. And so we start off this week with our part one of our series. And so, you know, in this message, we talked about how Jesus being born in the flesh and what that means for all of our lives. First of all, that it shows that God loves us, right? Because the fact that he would leave heaven and to be born on the earth. And I always think about this in the first century. I mean, if I was God and I was going to choose my son to be born on the earth, I would pick now, you know, maybe. Well, actually, no, the 90s were a good time.
Maybe. Yeah, you know, running plumbing.
Early 2000s, you know,
right,
maybe.
Right. Yeah, kind of like a upswing in the economy.
Right, yeah. You know, not the first century where they were under Roman occupation, no running water. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible time. To live, but yet God sent his son Jesus during that time to reveal how much he cares, how much he loves us. And I think that's just a massive, massive truth that people need to know that God loves you so much that he came to be born on this earth for us. And the second really important reality is that he took on human flesh. And so, you know, he knows what we're going through. You know, he knows all of our pains. He knows what it feels like to experience betrayal, loss, fear, hunger, you know, pain, death. He knows all of that. And yet, without sin. And I think that's so powerful. So he can show us the way to get through this life without having to compromise and without having to go off the deep end on stuff. And so, you know, with those couple truths there, you know, we ask, you know, what stands out to you from the main thought in scriptures? And I wonder for a lot of people if the reality just that God loves me, he cares about me, he sees me, he knows what I'm going through. That may really resonate. Like, I know for me, we just the thought that, okay, God knows what abandonment feels like and betrayal feels like and hurt and disappointment. Okay, so when I pray, he's not this detached, you know, deity up in heaven. No, he's near. And he's near to me. And he understands.
And you can make this really tangible for people. You just have them think, you know, when you were walking through something, there was someone that walked through it before. It was so much easier for you to go to them to have more conversation, to ask them for advice.
Because you understand.
Because they understand. And that's who Jesus is, as he understands. And, you know, in this series, we know there are probably going to be a lot of new people that are open to coming to your small groups. You've been inviting, praying for them. We're going to believe for them to come in. And so as you're really setting up and praying prior to your small group, really pray for that new person to be able to come in and know that God is near, to experience that in your small group through the conversation, the relationship, through the prayer you're going to have with each other. And also a great time for those that question, like, well, how do you know God is near? Great time to say, hey, can I walk you through the Bible? You know, there's a book called One to One. I can take you through scripture so that you can see, like, this is how you know that God knows. This is how we can know who he is and know how he's available and near us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, I guarantee a lot of people are going to be open to saying, okay, I want to explore that, because they've been trying everything else these past 3 years. They're empty. They're hopeless, and they want hope, and hope is alive and hope is available.
Right. And that's really what the incarnation shows us, that God would come to rescue people like us out of our brokenness and out of our sin for eternal life in heaven. And we can make that hopefully we can make that connection to people that know God is near to you too. I'm going to paint this, you know, I paint this picture, right, that if God is okay to be born in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. I mean, I just think about, you know, when we have babies nowadays, we want the most sanitized, you know.
And like, oh my gosh, and you come with the newborn outfit you're going to put them
in. It's all clean, it's all pristine, like that, he was born in a manger. that's an animal's feeding trough with mm-hmm. feces and bugs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I bet the cloth that they wrapped Jesus in wasn't really clean.
It's like, what was available?
It was probably pretty darn disgusting. And God, the God of heaven, was willing to be wrapped in unholy, unclean, gross stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that just, that's a powerful picture for all of us, that if God is okay being born in a nasty, mm-hmm. stinky manger wrapped in dirty cloths, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he can tolerate your sin and your brokenness.
Absolutely.
I'm talking to the new person, right? Yep. I'm pretty sure he's okay with your sin. Now, you can't stay that way.
Right.
But he's okay with it in the beginning.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, right? When Jesus was born in that manger, he turned that disgusting place into a holy place.
Right.
And that's the thing.
That's if what he
does
to us.
Let him into the dirty, disgusting manger yes. of our lives and the nasty cloth of our lives, he'll transform us into right. something different. But
yes.
we have to let him in. And he's okay with you being broken, but he wants to change you.
Yes. So leaders, this is a great week, even with the last question, have you experienced either salvation and or transformation in your life? A powerful week to share your story.
That's right.
To share Amen. Your testimony. You know, we call it the two-minute miracle. We talk about our life before Christ, what happened when we met Christ, and our life after Christ. A great opportunity to practice that. You know, don't make it the whole story of your life from when you were born, but what is that moment, you know, that you were in that place of hopelessness
yeah.
or that you were in that place stuck in mm-hmm. your sin. You were in that place where you just didn't know what to do, and God came through. God came near and radically transformed your life. Share that. Prepare your tripod to share their testimony. Yeah. Sometimes I think we forget, or we've been in groups so long that we realize we really haven't heard each other's testimony, and what a powerful time of encouragement. And also for that newer person that's coming around
that's right.
to hear, wait, you're not perfect. Wait, you're not. Because, you know, they do. They look at us leaders and they think, well, you don't struggle with anything.
Yeah.
You're perfect. And that's why it's so important to create this vulnerable atmosphere where people
right.
can be known. But you can share the story. You know, it says in Revelations, what overcomes the word is the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Right.
What a great time to share our testimony. Practice it. Practice it with your coworkers. Practice it with those you're inviting. And also be able to share it in your small groups.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, we get tired of hearing it because maybe we've been in group and we've heard mm-hmm. each other's stories for a while, but if there's a new person
right.
in your group, they've never heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So share those stories again
yes.
and you know, prepare the group that, hey, you might hear my story for the 100th time,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sharing it for my friend that I'm bringing.
Come on.
And that's what it's for.
Exactly.
Right? Share that. I love that, Michelle. You know, share that salvation story.
Yeah.
You know, how did you go from being lost and not caring
mm-hmm.
about Jesus to now, oh, he
right.
matters. I better give my life to him, right?
Right.
And sometimes that our epiphany or our aha moment might become the epiphany or the
exactly.
aha moment for the person sitting
yep.
across from us. And so share that. I think that'd be great. And prep your people in the group to
mm-hmm.
be willing to share that. You know, I think another awesome thing about this, we talked about it this past week, is God doesn't just want to leave us the way we are. He wants
right.
to change us, right? And I think that's super key as well, that, you know, we come in broken, we come in a certain way. But like I said, Jesus took that unholy, nasty manger and he turned it into a holy
Amen.
Place
mm-hmm.
where pilgrims go and visit every single year. They want to go see the place
right.
where Jesus was born. It was just a common, ordinary, disgusting manger. Now it's a place where people go to worship. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's a picture of what can happen in our lives, that we may feel like our lives are dirty, disgusting, messed up. But once we let Jesus in, it becomes a holy place.
Right.
Or he's going to change us into a holy
exactly.
place where people can see God through us.
Yep.
And they're going to come to us for hope
right.
at some point in our lives. And we need to give that hope to the people in our groups because, you know, we all feel like we're not good enough. We all feel like we're messed up. And I still hear stories of people. We had a story of a guy that came Friday night. So, you know, the church is going to burn down when I walk in. And then the friend was like, no, don't worry, it won't. And he said, well, then I'm going to get struck by lightning on the way to church. You know, like, okay. But
yeah.
you get the mentality is
yeah.
I'm so bad.
Right.
That God doesn't want anything to do with me.
Right.
But nothing could be further from the truth.
Right. He just wants to punish me, but that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, if that were the case, he wouldn't have had Jesus born in a
right.
manger.
Right. Exactly.
It would have been in a palace on a mountaintop. Right. But he picked one of the most disgusting places. I've been in barns. You know what I mean? I can't imagine putting my infant child in a feeding trough. You know,
mm-hmm.
but God did that. And I think that's a picture for us, that God is okay with us. He loves us. He wants to be born in our lives so that he can change us.
Right.
Right. That doesn't excuse our sin, but
mm-hmm.
in our brokenness, in our lostness, God is okay with being
Amen.
Born there so that he can transform us.
Amen. So have a great conversation. Share your story. Leave room for that. Leave room for prayer. Really, really dig in. What is that area that you need God to be near in?
Right.
Ask each other, ponder it, pray for each other.
And as we journey, you know, further into the Christmas season, let's continue to be looking for the people God wants us to share His love with in our circles, in our daily lives. And let's not forget that He wants us to go beyond our walls, beyond our borders, to reach the people He's placed in our lives. Christmas is that season, and the best thing I think we can do to honor God in this season is to help people come to know Him in this season.
That's right. So as we remember living beyond ourselves, I know things get busy. There's a lot of activities. Maybe it's going to fall on group night. Be creative, leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, if you guys got to cluster up three here, three there, get together, create these moments, you know, try your best not to cancel group because, you know, people need this. Especially in this season, we need to pause. We need to reflect. We need to remember why, and we need to be a hope and a light to those that need Him.
Yeah.
And so let's really push and be creative in the ways that we do our groups and stay relational.
That's right.
This Christmas
and
season.
Let me say one last thing. I don't think it's a coincidence that Christmas falls on Sunday morning this year. You know, the first Christmas coming out of the pandemic, historic inflation. I mean, historic challenges in our world. You know, I won't list them. But Christmas is on Sunday morning. And, you know, I know sometimes we can feel like, oh, man, I would love to just stay home on Sunday morning, you know, on Christmas morning and open presents with my kids and my hot cocoa. But, you know, I was thinking about this, that, you know, in the first century, I don't think they would have stayed home if Christmas fell on a Sunday morning, you know, or the early church. They would have been in church early. They would have been worshiping God and inviting their friends because Jesus is alive. I mean, He's the whole reason for the season. And so I think God is going to do something this Christmas, this Christmas, being on Sunday morning. I remember my first year in ministry, 2005, I was having a bad attitude because Christmas fell on a Sunday morning. I didn't want to go, Michelle, I was just to be honest. But I showed up, obviously, and the lines of people waiting to get in, and then the people that got saved that Christmas morning, I was convicted. I said, God, I'm so sorry that I was so selfish that I just wanted to stay home with my hot cocoa.
Right.
You wanted people to come to know you on Christmas morning.
He came for the sick, not for the healthy.
That's right. And so, you know, the best way we can honor Him is to make room in our lives, make room in our hearts, and in church so that people that we bring can come to know Jesus.
Amen.
And let's believe God for a great Christmas season of lives being touched and transformed.
Amen. Have a great week and have a great group.
Amen. Thank you.